Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 2. If you're just joining us for the first time for our Mark series here, I want to invite you just to take one of the journaling Bibles that's in the pew in front of you. We're encouraging you to take one of those home, write in it, take your notes in it, read it, follow the reading plan and all that. And I want you to know, students, that I think it's really awesome that you are here today, because I think this passage has something to say to you, because you're going to actually face challenges in your faith in a way that most of the adults here haven't had to face, okay? So I'm really glad to get to speak to you today. And I actually brought something today to show you, something that's actually hanging in my garage. And so that every time I come to church, I look at this. Every time that I go ride my bike, I look at this. Everywhere I go, just the first thing I see is this poster, okay? And it's a little weird because it's actually a poster of me, all right? I want to show you all this poster. This actually has a really important statement that God has been working on me for the last 5 years. And it goes like this: I do not train to avoid suffering, and I do not prepare to avoid challenge. I train and prepare to effectively engage in suffering and challenge. It's a reminder to me about reality. Now, you got that? I do not train to avoid suffering. I do not prepare to avoid challenge. I train and prepare to effectively engage in suffering and challenge. So let me tell you why I have this. So a few years in a row, some of you heard me talk about, I did this race called the Leadville 100, okay? And when they advertise this race, they talk about on the road to Leadville. Here's the picture that this poster came from. There I am. Doesn't that look really cool? Okay, so we'll go back to my poster here. But the Leadville 100 is a 100-mile mountain bike race in Colorado. You start at 10,000 feet where you can't breathe to start, okay? And it's really, really hard, and I'll tell you, I failed at trying to finish it two times before I finished it the third time. And here's what happened that I realized, that when I was at home in Dallas working really hard to train and prepare, I thought that if I worked hard enough, it wouldn't be hard when I got to the race. That's not reality. It was really, really hard. But you know what else I found? I found that I didn't just do this with riding my bike. I found that I do it with leading our church. That I actually go to a leadership training program every month. I've been doing it for several years now. And here's what happens. I'll train and prepare, and I'll go there, and I'll read all the books, and I'll study, and I'll do everything I'm asked to do. And then sometimes I get back to church, and it's so hard that sometimes I go home and I think this: maybe I shouldn't be the pastor of the church. Because I thought that when I came back to church after training, it wouldn't be so hard. That's not reality. And so when I'm not dealing in reality, I want to get off the road, so to speak. But you know what else I realized? I don't just do this with riding my bike or leading the church. I also do it with my relationship with Jesus. Okay, students, what's the average age here, 16 or 17? I want to tell you something. It's hard to believe. At one time, I was 17 years old. It was 40 years ago, but I want you to know I still remember stuff from then. When I was 19, I came to know Jesus, and I had this little thought in my mind when I came to know Jesus, and it was this: when I'm like a really, really, really old guy, like 57 years old, like I am now, that maybe it won't be hard. The struggles of sin will just magically go away. And there won't be times where it won't be a challenge to tell people about my faith. And when I'm thinking that, it creates the temptation to get off the road. That's not reality. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at Mark chapter 2 to help us with reality, okay? But before I do, I think I want to give away a really, really awesome prize today, okay? The best prize I could think of to give somebody here. I want to give away my poster. Anybody want my poster? Anybody want, y'all don't want my poster? Oh, okay, this guy way over here. I think that's a Harvey guy. Come on up. Awesome. Okay, y'all. Okay, so Ethan, I'm going to sign this for you, okay? You're going to get your personalized signed copy. Can I sign it right there, okay? What would you got anything you want me to say to you too? Ethan, let's see, you the man. How's that? I'll give you my special signature there, okay? Awesome, Ethan. Give Ethan a hand. I'm going to pray for us right now. Holy Spirit, give us open hearts, open minds, a desire to say, Jesus, we want what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk. I'm going to say two things about the reality of the road, and I'm going to give you one challenge, okay? Two things about the reality of the road and one challenge. And let me give you the first one. The reality of the road of following Jesus, the road is hard, okay? The road is hard. Wow, you're like, wow, the pastor's really encouraging us this morning. You know why we talk about the road? Is in the book of Mark, he actually says following Jesus is like walking on a road. Being a disciple is being on the road with Jesus. Now, we had five stories. Y'all remember the stories? There was a healing of a paralyzed man, and then Jesus' disciples are going around, and Jesus comes to a guy who was a sinner and eats with him, and then Jesus' disciples aren't fasting, but they're eating, and Jesus says, I'm like a bridegroom, and then Jesus' disciples are picking grain on the Sabbath, and then Jesus heals somebody. Two stories about healing, three about eating, okay? And I want to show you how it starts. If you look at chapter 2, verse 6, it says this. Some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And I'm going to talk about that in a second, but I just want you to notice that when this thing starts, there's some people looking at Jesus saying, how dare this guy talk like that? And then by the time you get to the end in chapter 3, verse 6, notice what it says. They're not just questioning in their hearts. It says, the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him, how to kill him. You know who the Pharisees and the Herodians, y'all, were? The Pharisees were the religious conservative people. You know who the Herodians were? They were the people that kind of were more into politics and they were more liberal in their thinking. And you know today how in our country we have this incredible divide between what they call conservatives and liberals, and there's all this fighting you read about on the TV. This was actually way worse at that time. And here's these incredible enemies, and when they look at Jesus, they come together and they say, we're going to kill him. And this is why I say the road is hard, because if it's hard for Jesus, you know what? If we're following Jesus, it's going to be hard for us. Because where the leader goes, so does the followers, unless they get off the road. Where the leader goes, so does the followers, unless they get off the road. I want to just say a couple ways, some very specific ways that this is hard. I have a friend named Drew. Drew has become an expert at the Leadville 100 bike race. Drew is actually developing an app that you can pay for and sign up. And you know what Drew tells you? He tells you every single thing about the Leadville 100. He's got it broken up into segments. He tells you how high every spot is. He tells you how steep the climbs are. He tells you, you can actually give him information about yourself, how much you weigh. You can tell him how strong you are, and he'll tell you exactly how hard you have to ride your bike so you don't wear yourself out and you can finish. He tells you exactly how much to drink. He tells you exactly how much to eat. If you talk to him enough, he'll tell you what to eat and drink so that you will stay on the road. And Mark helps us see some very specific things to help us not get off the road. The road is hard. Here's one of the ways it's hard. You'll notice when it says the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 6 were questioning their heart, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? There's a paralytic, right? Paralyzed man comes to Jesus. Everybody knows what he wants. He wants what? To be healed, to get to be able to walk again. Everybody knows what he needs, but what does Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven. That Jesus realized actually there was a bigger problem than just him being able to walk. He needed his sins forgiven. And when he said that, they knew. They knew that only God could forgive sins. So when they say he is blaspheming, it means he is saying he is God when he's not. See, Jesus was saying in a way in that culture that as many people could hear as loudly and clearly as possible, Jesus is God. And he was also saying this, Jesus forgives sins. Jesus is God. Jesus forgives sins. He's making true statements. And how did people respond? Did they say, oh, wow, that's so awesome? No, how dare Jesus say that? And it doesn't just happen there. It happens in the next story. Look at the next story. It's about a guy named Levi. Levi was a tax collector. And Jesus is at the party with Levi and his friends. And the Pharisees say in verse 16, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. And it made them really mad, and I'll tell you why. You know what Jesus was saying there? Not only Jesus is God, not only Jesus forgives sins, you know what else he was saying? Everybody needs a Savior. Everybody needs a Savior, okay? Here's one of the ways that Mark prepares us to not get off the road, to know that the road is hard. That when you go out and you make a claim, a truth claim, sometimes people don't like it. I want you to imagine one of these students gets really bold. And on their Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever your favorite social media is, every day they just put out a claim. Jesus alone is God. Next day, Jesus forgives sins. Next day, everybody needs a Savior. Next day, Jesus alone is God. Next day, Jesus forgives sins. Next day, everybody needs a Savior. Anybody here think that might cause some people to not like you very much? Marvin taught me a word this week. Marvin, you guys taught me the word swag. He said, Neil, you need to understand some words to be able to talk to the students, okay? And I had to look it up just to make sure he wasn't messing with me. There's actually a lot of definitions for swag, Marvin. And Marvin was telling me swag in this sense. When I, 40 years ago, was 17, it meant cool, okay? Or popular. And here's the deal. Following Jesus on the road is hard, and sometimes you might lose your swag, okay? And students, I want to tell you a lie that sometimes adults are going to tell you. Well-meaning Christian adults like me are going to tell you. And I want to tell you it's not true and it's not reality. And it goes like this. If you study up and you really know all the claims of Jesus and you study up enough arguments, you're going to be able to convince people to agree with you. It's not always true. And the other one goes like this. If you're a really nice person and you just do good things to people all the time, that when you make a truth claim like Jesus alone is God and Jesus forgives sins and everybody needs a Savior, people are going to pat you on the back and say, oh, you're so awesome. And I want you to hear this. That is not reality. Jesus knows all the arguments to convince people, right? Jesus was a really compassionate and kind and loving person. And Jesus is walking on a road that is hard, okay? Following Jesus on the road, it's hard. And it's hard when you say, I believe truth, okay? I want to tell you one other way that's hard. It's hard when you're not doing what everyone is doing, okay? Watch what happens here. So in verse 18, it says, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. That the really religious people at the time, one of the things they did to show their piety was fast. And some people came and said to Jesus, oh, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And you know what Jesus says? Listen, when the bridegroom comes and he's giving a picture of a wedding feast and he's helping you see that something totally new is happening, and he says, when the bridegroom is here, you don't fast. And then he tells a couple little sayings. He says, listen, if you had a hole in your garment, this is kind of hard to understand today because people, when they wear jeans, they get holes in their jeans and they really like their holes in their jeans, you know, and they pay to have holes in their jeans. And believe it or not, 40 years ago when I was 17, I'm getting off track here, but I actually had jeans and I liked having holes in my jeans, but my grandmother really didn't like having holes in my jeans. So my grandmother, whenever I came to visit her, she had these iron-on patches and she would iron those patches on the holes in my jeans. But you know what? Those patches never stayed on the jeans because they were new patches and the jeans were old and it always tore away. And that's what Jesus is saying here. My grandmother should have read the Bible. No, I'm just kidding, grandmother. Jesus says, listen, you can't just do what everybody else is doing because I'm actually doing something new. And it didn't just happen in that story. The next story, it says, on the Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck the heads of the grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Here's the deal. The Sabbath was supposed to be a day of rest. The Pharisees made lots and lots of laws so that people would not do work on the Sabbath. And Jesus and his disciples are picking grain, which they had said was work. And Jesus says, you guys totally don't get it here. I am actually for people, and people need to eat. And when I'm here, I get to say how things go. And they don't do what everyone else is doing, and you know what? People get really uncomfortable. Isn't that true? When you don't do what everyone else is doing, people get really uncomfortable. I want to tell you about reality here, that following Jesus is really hard. Could you imagine if you were at a friend's house and they had a Samsung QLED 8K TV, you know what I'm talking about, the best of the best, and that TV is 55 inches, and every image on that screen is so real. And it is so lifelike. And you're there watching a movie at your friend's house, and it's just, it is amazing. And then some images come up on the screen. And these particular images, that when you see it, there's something in you, it's just this moment, and you feel uncomfortable. And it's images that you've heard, wow, I shouldn't look at that. And you have this moment and you feel uncomfortable, and I'm gonna tell you what happens, and I'm gonna tell you what that uncomfortable feeling is. That uncomfortable feeling, I believe, is this. It's the awareness that if being a disciple was walking on a road with Jesus, and if Jesus was there that moment, Jesus would be getting up and walking away from that. And that moment that you're uncomfortable is this moment where you get to choose, wow, am I gonna follow Jesus on the road? You know, there's lots of illustrations I could use, and for our big kids here and our adults here, there are lots of choices that you're making that are just the same. But here's what happens. Y'all with me here? Here's what happens. There's just that one moment of being uncomfortable, and God's not gonna force you. And most of the time, we ignore it. I remember when I was 19 years old. And I was a little surprised when I got up one time in that exact same scenario. And my friends thought I was judging them. That's why some of the Pharisees are uncomfortable here. That without even saying anything to them, just saying, this is what we're going to do, it feels like they're being judged. It doesn't matter how nice you are. And it doesn't matter how many arguments you have. Following Jesus on the road is hard just when you're speaking truth and when you've said, there's some things some people do that I've decided it's not gonna be the best for me. That's reality. Now, I wanna say that I don't wanna just end there, that following Jesus on the road is hard. I wanna say something else about reality. That the road is not just hard, the road is good, okay? The road is good. David, can you put that picture back up of me at Leadville, the real picture there? Y'all, I love Colorado. I love riding my bike. I love just the sense of out there being free for a whole day. I love being in races, even though I'm old. And you know what? That thing is really, really hard. I didn't finish two times, and I barely finished the third time. But there's something about it that's really good, isn't it? That it's just really good to be out there. It's really good to feel like I'm using the body God gave me. How many students here do sports? How many, hey, raise your hand high if you do sports. Any of y'all have to get up early, early in the morning like today and you're suffering, okay? I see a few people yawning. Why do you do it? Anybody got any idea why you do it? Because there's something you've decided that it's good. And so here's what I want to tell you. In a culture that says everything should be easy, that is a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. It's not reality that hard and good can come together, and actually hard and good go together and they make something great. That's following Jesus. Let me show you what happens here. First story is what? Jesus heals a paralyzed man. Is that a good thing? To help somebody be able to walk? And we say, yes. And let me tell you, he also says of the guy, your sins are forgiven. If you have any secret sins in your life right now, anything you're feeling shame about, anything you've done that you think, oh gosh, if anybody knew this, they would never be able to forgive me. Is it a good thing when somebody says you're forgiven? You bet it is. Don't believe the lie of the world that says this. Man, Jesus, it's just all bad because of truth claims or because you lived different. It's good. Look at the next story. There's a guy named Levi who's a tax collector. Levi is actually a Jewish name, okay? The Romans were the ones who were collecting taxes. If you were a Jewish person and a tax collector, you know what that meant? That you were a sellout, okay? Is that okay way to say it, Marvin? Thank you very much. It meant you were a sellout. It meant that you had left all your Jewish friends and they didn't want to have anything to do with you. You know what that kind of person needs is acceptance. And when Jesus comes to Levi, he says, you know what? I can accept you. For all that you've done, I can still accept you. Those of you who have these secret little things in your life that you wonder if anybody knew this about me, Jesus says, I can accept you. I want to ask you, is that a good thing to be able to be accepted? You bet it is. And when Jesus is not fasting and he says, hey, the bridegroom has come. Do you know why he says the bridegroom has come? One of the best parties during that time that you could go to was a wedding. You know what that is about? That is about joy. Jesus says, I'm for joy. Is that good that Jesus is for joy? Do you want joy? Yes, that's good. Now listen, the next one, when Jesus is going through the grain fields and they're picking the grain, do you know what the Sabbath was about? It was about people feeling like God had restored them. And God was giving them rest. See, some of you are really tired this morning. Is rest a good thing when you go home today and take a really long nap? You bet it is. See, I have some people waking up here. So listen, I want to tell you, is that good? And then Jesus at the very end helps a man who has a withered hand. You know, we know this. In our culture, if somebody has something wrong with their body, it's very awkward, right? And Jesus heals that. Is that good? You bet it is. In all five stories, Jesus does something good. And it concludes with this. They want to kill him. Here's what happens. You wake up, you say, I'm following Jesus, I think I'm doing good. And you do some really nice thing where you accept somebody, you forgive somebody, you help restore somebody, and still people don't say you're awesome because following Jesus on the road is hard and good. So students, I really want to say one thing to you this morning. I want to leave you with one thing. It's this, stay on the road. That you're aware of the reality and so you don't get caught. You know, I'll close with this story. My friend Drew, you know, I went to my friend Drew before I was doing my third Leadville because I didn't want to not finish again. And I went to Drew really to give me some courage, okay? Because I needed some courage because I thought, man, I'm just not going to finish this again and then I'm going to have to come to church and tell all my friends I didn't finish. And I want to tell you how Drew was giving me courage. In the same way, Mark gives his readers courage by giving them reality, okay? And Drew asked me a question. He said, Neil, tell me why you didn't finish Leadville last year. And I said, well, you know, altitude is really hard for me and I can't drink very good at altitude and my allergies and asthma bother me when I'm at altitude and I start eating and it gets stuck in my throat and I'm really only good for about 6 hours of hard work at altitude, not 12 hours. And you know what my friend Drew did? He looked at me and he said this, Neil, that's true for everybody. That's the reality for everybody. And what Jesus does through Mark today is he says, here's the reality for everybody. Following Jesus on the road is hard. And following Jesus on the road is good. And I wouldn't want to be on any other road. May God give us courage. Jesus, make us people who are brave because we deal in reality. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and ask him to make us brave. Father in heaven, I pray for all of us that we would be people who stay on the road because we believe. It is the ultimate good to follow Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.